Well, hi, everyone. I am so excited for you to be here today. We are going to be talking with another one of our writers. This book is, by the time you all start seeing this, hopefully the book will be out, but we're just in the process of getting the book together and getting it out. And I don't even have a cover to show you yet, but the book is Women Like Me, Reclaiming Our Power. And this is such an amazing book. There's 9 authors in it. And I tell you, this is a really powerful book. So if you get a chance to purchase it when it's actually out, you'll be doing yourself a favor because these are really, really, really great stories. So today, we are here with Roxanne Natus, and she is here to talk to us about her story and a little bit about her life. So welcome, Roxanne. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Julie. Thank you. My last name is Natus.
Oh, Natus. Natus. Yes. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I went and wrote it down so I could pronounce it. Obviously, I did it wrong.
Thank you
for letting me know.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to chat a little bit about Roxanne's story and about things that she's up to in the world. But first, I'd like to read a little bit about her bio so you get a little bit of a feel about what Roxanne is all about. So her title is Losing My First Love, Healing Through the Guilt and Trauma of Suicide. So Roxanne is from Onion Lake First Nations in Saskatchewan, Canada, and she's 49 years old, and she's a mother of 4 and the grandmother of 6, and she currently runs her own home business, or I should say businesses. She does readings by Roxy, and she does them out of Lord Minister, Saskatchewan. She offers different services. So she's a certified Reiki energy healer. She's a certified massage therapist. And she's a certified angel card reader for the past 10 years. I'm curious about that. So Roxanne says that being a First Nations woman, we were taught to just take what was happening and don't complain. And she says, I just couldn't do that. And I had to stand up for myself and my children more than once in this life. And the reason she says that she chose to share her story was 2 things. And one of them was after speaking with me the founder of Women Like Me, and she felt that it was a very safe place that she could be real and open up to her story. And next, that she wanted to be able to help other women by letting them know what she's gone through her life. And so hopefully if they read her story, they will get some healing or some wisdom of things that of ways that they can help themselves. And I really love what she says here. Ask, believe, and receive. Oh my goodness. I love those. I love those 3 words. I love them, love them. And she looks forward to connecting with more warrior women like me. So Roxanne, welcome. Welcome for being here. So I want to talk to you. Why don't we just start off with your story? Maybe tell me a little bit more about, you know, why is it that you wanted to write? And maybe you could also tell us a little bit about how it felt during the process of writing your story.
Sure. First of all, I want to thank you so much for choosing me and including me in this process. It's been life-changing, I want to say. I chose to talk about suicide because it was one of the very first traumas that I went through in my life, and just wanting to share my story so that the women and, you know, not just men, but our women, men also, like, I know that there's a lot of suicides that happen where the spouse is left with children, and just wanting to connect with people like that.
Yeah. Well, and that's right. And I think that for men, I mean, obviously women and men experience traumas and suicide, of course, but, you know, I think men are a bit more secretive sometimes about their trauma. They don't, you know, women, I think, are more willing to reach out for help.
Well, yeah. And like, it's been 29 years since I lost my husband. And I am just now to the point where I can talk about it without breaking down. And wow. I know that even the process of sharing my story and writing was very emotional and very healing. Like, I really released a lot of all of this baggage I've been carrying on for so many years that really wasn't mine.
Yeah.
And just, it was a whole process of purging and letting go. And so this year, when the anniversary came around on April 1st, it was the first time ever where it wasn't heavy. It was like we celebrated his life. We celebrated, you know, our time with him. It was so different. And I believe it was through writing my story out and sharing it.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I think so we're afraid to let those things out. We're afraid, we don't want to feel sometimes, like you say, you know, every time you thought about it before, you would break down. And I think that, I know that writing is therapeutic to our soul, and we need to get that stuff out of our bodies. And when we can get it out of our bodies, we release the trauma.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I know it's a very emotional process, and it can be quite difficult for a lot of we're talking more about women right now, but women to actually release their stories and get that trauma out onto paper.
Well, yes, and I think it is hard for a woman to come forward because of, you know, especially Native women, I want to say, we're taught that whatever life brings us, we just get through it. No complaining. You just get up and go do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it I love that. That's why I knew coming and learning about you, it was a safe space for me to share what I went through.
Yeah. Well, why don't you, you know, are you up to telling us a little bit about your husband and what was happening with him?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I met my husband. He was one of my first boyfriends, and we got married young. My dad had to sign my marriage certificate. That was always a running joke. but we wanted to be married before I had my son, and you know, life was good when it was good, but you know, it was bad when it was bad. And my husband came into the relationship with a lot of pain and hurt from sexual abuses that he had endured for a number of years, and just all of the, he was broken right from the start. That's why I say, like, I knew in the deep of my heart that this is how we were going to lose him. I just didn't know when.
Oh.
But yeah, and then just trying to, I was 20 years old, and Mother Randall was 2.5, and we came back to Onion Lake. And yeah, I remember that morning so clearly. And you know, and that he had taken his life. And that was really hard. My whole life changed in that moment.
Yes. You know, when you wrote in your story, sorry, I have a little tickle there. You talk about that the family, his family blamed you. I couldn't understand that because I of course read through your whole story and
yeah.
I didn't see why that would be. Was it just a deflection of their pain or?
Sorry.
That's okay.
No, I think it comes with the fact of suicide. You know, in a number of different situations I've been through anyways, they try to find somebody to blame because they don't want the blame on their loved one. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard. It was really hard because, you know, I blamed myself. I lost friends. I lost family, or people I thought were family, because of this. And so it was a time where I was just, honestly, I had my own family is what got me through it, and Randall and. It's just to me, it just seems like when someone dies from suicide, I blame myself too. I went down that rabbit hole for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful now that, you know, now today, me and his mother have a very good relationship. Oh. I wish it would have been like that when we were together. And I'm close with his sister, like we're still in contact, you know, and so there has been healing, there has been, you know, forgiveness. And but at the time, it was just too much, I mean, for them.
Too much for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's so nice to hear though that there's been healing and that there's still a connection because you have a son, correct?
Yes. My oldest son was 2.5 when he lost his dad. And that's been hard on him. Like I've always had to, you know, that's always been an issue with him growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Excuse me. So, there were signs, and he would tell you that he was thinking about committing suicide.
Yeah, like when I remember we lived here in Lloydminster in a small apartment, and he was working, but when he would work, he'd, you know, sometimes come home drunk or whatever from work, and he'd get quite abusive. And he would threaten to me. He would just threaten and tell me, like, even before we were together, he had tried to kill himself. And, you know, so knowing those things coming into the relationship, it was always in the back of my head. And I hoped that it wouldn't be, but
Well, and you were both so young. So
yeah. He was 24 when he died. I was 20. And he was still young, so yes. Young.
Yeah. So was there ever a time that he was willing to go to counseling?
In 1993, just a year before, I was finishing my grade 12, and he went into the rehab center, and, you know, just to kind of deal with some of the abuses that he went through as a child, because mentally, like, he was so broken. Like he, there was just this part of him that was so, I don't know, unrepairable, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, broken, I think, is a good word.
Yeah. And so he did go there. And, you know, it did help. Like, we moved to Edmonton, and I was in nursing at the U of A, and Randall was in daycare. Ferdinand was working. Like, things were good. And then alcohol came into the picture, and we got into an argument, and he ended up going back to Onion Lake to, and ultimately is where he died, in Onion Lake.
Wow. Well, that's a lot to deal with at such a young age. You know, I think even as a grown woman or a grown man, it's still a lot to deal with, but to deal with that trauma, and for someone who's so broken, you know, how do you deal with that as a 20-year-old? Very, very difficult.
Very difficult. It was hard. I always say now, I wish I knew now then.
Yeah. No, for sure.
But yeah, I didn't know how to help him. Like, when he would come to me and break down and share his incredibly hard stories with me, it was sickening. It was sickening, and it was maddening. And I didn't know how to deal with it.
Of course. Well, it's, you know, it sounds like you did reach out. Obviously he did get some help,
yeah.
And then things were better. And then, but I guess without that continuous.
Yes.
Exactly.
Especially, I think, like, when someone has attempted to take their life or, you know, is set on following through, like, there's just got to be more supports in place. There's got to be more follow-ups, more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, and I think, you know, I mean, I haven't experienced that in my life, thank goodness, but I think there's more supports now than there were back then, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, yeah. So I think now there's, you know, places where people can reach out, and I think we're a more open and accepting society now. I think,
yes.
I think back then when that happened, we were more, don't talk about it. That's, you know,
yes,
the silence of it. And that makes it really hard for people to reach out. And
that's so true, because, you know, and years later, in talking with some of the family members, like, they were aware, but, you know, it was something you just don't talk about.
Yeah.
And it went way back, you know, like generations back.
Yes.
And it just kind of fell down. And I think after going through this experience, I think that's why my parenting for my own kids, like, you know, I'm very open. I'm very to the point with them, almost too much sometimes. But I just want to know where they're at, you know, emotionally, mentally. I need to know, you know, and even the people they're around are, you know, it's like I say, it's changed me some ways good, some ways not, where I'm like kind of.
Well, I don't, you know what, better to be checking in with them than not.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right. And, yeah. And because, of course, you've gone through this trauma in your life, you want to make sure that everybody's emotionally doing okay. And no, I think that's an important thing. We should be doing that for sure. You know, we're such, again, we're just such an aside. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm good, thanks. and we carry on. But are we really good?
Yes, exactly.
I think you're, and I think what you said as well in the beginning, and also a little bit in your bio about, you know, your culture, which I don't think it's just your culture. I think it's I think that it's just people in general, but being told just, you know, zip it. We're not talking about it. Pick yourself up, go out there, carry on. And and then that just says to people, I mean, it shuts people down. And I could certainly see it shutting down, you know, someone like your husband.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and he always had a fear of like almost to the point where he was like overly obsessive of where Randall was, who was around Randall, you know, like that. He was very, very guarded around Randall.
And makes complete sense.
Yeah.
And so, so, you know, I'm so glad that you were, that you said again in the beginning that, that you've, I mean, you haven't cried yet. I was waiting to see if you were gonna, you know, but you, you know, you're talking about it with a lot of love and wisdom. And, you know, what would you say, Roxanne, to somebody that might, you know, what if there's another wife out there, a woman who's, whose husband or boyfriend or anybody is threatening suicide, or like, what could you share with them now that you, that maybe, well, you've got a lot of wisdom in you?
I think the first thing is letting them know they're not alone, and, you know, and there are supports out there. You just have to go look for them, especially, even if they haven't actually lost the spouse to suicide, if it's something that's been threatened, you know, there's family counseling now, there's so many different mental health programs, there's all these things available now today that, you know, people maybe forget or don't know how. But, you know, honestly, you just got to get onto a computer, start looking up and start finding your people, you know, and making your connections, and know that you're going to be okay and you're not alone.
Yeah. I think too that I loved what you said about the, even if the person hasn't committed suicide, they can still reach out and go get help. And I really love that you said that, because as you were saying it, I was thinking, well, it's emotionally traumatic to the person who's being told, I'm going to go do this. Like for you, it's a almost an emotionally abusive situation, you know, and very traumatic for the person that's on the other side.
Yes. So, yeah.
You know,
it is, you know, it is living through it. It's very mentally and emotionally abusive. And it's like a fear always at the back of your head. Well, you know, I don't want to say this, or, you know, like that. That's how kind of I tiptoed around not to say, what not to do. And yeah, like now, even if people are threatening suicide, you know, don't wait, get them help now. They need somebody to talk to, or, you know, they need somebody just to listen to them, what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And it might just be that release that they need.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Well, so how's your life now? How are things going for you now?
Good, really good. I have 6 grandchildren that keep me very busy.
I bet.
Yes. And I also, I run my own small business, Readings by Roxy, which keeps me busy and doing readings and everything. And then I'm also going to be having a first ever card reading class.
Good for you. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, so is this around the angel cards?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Because I have so many clients, like everybody has this gift. We just have to learn to tap in and use it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was asked about it and I thought I'm going to try. And I have a very strong mentor here in Lloydminster, Lystra, who supports me and is my rock, you know.
Oh,
so when I'm not sure anything, I have her to kind of go and wow. bounce off of, and she just lifts me back up and she's like, no, you're doing this class.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. So how many people will you have in your class? Like, is there a maximum that you're going to have? Or
it's funny because when I put it together, I was like, well, maybe two, maybe three, you know, and I put it out there. And now, like, because of the space we have, I'm thinking I might have to do two separate classes because we're not going to fit over 10 people in that space.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Well, yeah, so I'm really excited about that.
That is very exciting. Good for you. Yeah, you don't ever know where these things are going to lead us, right?
No, and it's fun. I love doing it. I love the connections I make with people through my readings, and yeah, I'm excited.
Well, what if somebody wanted to get a reading from you? Do you do them over the internet?
Oh yeah, like I've done readings all the way down in North Carolina. When they contact my page for a reading, we set it up. And then if they're like a distance reading, then it would be just like this, how we are. And,
yeah.
and it's a video reading.
Yeah. Oh, that is so interesting. Well, when we finish up here, if anybody's interested, I'm going to be putting Roxanne's information and her links in the details of the podcast and also the YouTube video. So if somebody wants to reach out to her to either take the class or to get a reading, you'll be able to just click on that and connect up with her.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Well, in closing, Roxanne, is there anything else you'd like to share? Any other little words of wisdom that you'd like to share before we go?
I just wanted to add in that the reason I chose to share my story is to create awareness, and it's something that's needed in our home communities. And that's all I'm hoping is that, you know, more people come forward and are listen to it and know like there's help out there.
Oh. That's yeah. wonderful. Yes. And I know that, I know just from all the other books that we've done, that there's a lot of people that have gotten a lot of help from different ladies' stories. And I'm positive this is going to help with yours as well. Well, Roxanne, thank you so much, love, for doing this. I've really enjoyed it. And, and yes, if anybody needs any help out there, don't hesitate to reach out to someone that you trust, or there's crisis lines, or, you know, just get somebody to talk to, because sometimes just talking it out can really help. And a doctor, if you need a doctor, like, just don't stay silent and hidden. Just, you know, yeah. get some help for sure. Well, thanks again, Roxanne. And remember, yes. everybody, I'm going to have all of Roxanne's information in the details for the podcast and the YouTube. So I hope you guys blow up her email and the poor woman has run off her feet.
Thank you so much, Julie.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon. Yep. Bye.
Bye.